You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, people of Birdland, and welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news and analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire. I'm the former Major League Baseball editor for Sporting News. I've been a Cy Young and Rookie of the Year voter, and I now host a podcast called Baseball by the Book. I'm also a longtime Orioles fan. So welcome to the place where it's all O's all the time. Well, guys, another day, another loss. The Washington Nationals completed the sweep by beating the Orioles Wednesday evening, and things continue to look grim for the 2018 Orioles. So instead of focusing on this year's wretched team, we're going to take a look at the future in this episode. We're going to go down to the farm and look at some of the Orioles' top prospects with Nick Stevens. He contributes to Baby Birdland, a site which looks at Orioles' minor league teams and players. We'll get to that in just a second. Hey folks, just a reminder, for all the original content of the Locked On Podcast Network, both the podcasts and the written content on every team, go to LockedOnSports.com. And of course, for all your content on the Baltimore Orioles, make sure to go to LockedOnOrioles.com. Hey everybody, welcome back to Locked On Orioles. We are joined now by Nick Stevens. He's a contributor to Baby Birdland, a site that writes all about Orioles minor leaguers. And Nick, you're here to talk about an article that you wrote recently that I thought was kind of interesting. You looked at each level of the Orioles minor league system and picked the two prospects in each team that you sort of looked at as untouchable. And of course, that's kind of an interesting way of looking at, you know, who do we see as the best players for the Orioles in the future? Who are the guys that we think really have the brightest futures? And you went level by level, so I want to talk about that. But I want to start at Bowie, because I think Bowie is really the most interesting one in a lot of ways. You picked as your two untouchable players at that on Bowie, Ryan Mountcastle and Keegan Aiken. And I thought that was interesting for a number of reasons, one of which is it means you didn't pick Austin Hayes or Cedric Mullins, who are, of course, two of the guys that, you know, two of the players that fans maybe know the most about. Certainly Austin Hayes going into the year looked like, maybe the top guy in the whole organization. So let's just talk about that a little bit. Like, we know Ryan Mountcastle's been having an excellent year. So can you talk about what Ryan's been doing and then about why you picked him over those other two?
Yeah. So that was Bowie was definitely the toughest team to pick from. We got a couple more reactions on Twitter to that post, and I think a couple other people said the same thing because Bowie's just so stacked. But yeah, looking at Austin Hayes, like the league adjusted to Hayes this year, and now we're waiting to see if Hayes can adjust to the league. And now he's going on the disabled list again. Not to take anything away from his future, I think he's still the top prospect in the Orioles system. But with Ryan Mountcastle, like he's only 21. He just turned 21 a couple months ago. And we haven't really seen his full potential. Like, I think there's a lot of room for growth with his power. The man's got like 82, 83 doubles in three seasons down in Bowie. And he's answering Buck Showalter's challenge already this year when Showalter challenged him to draw more walks. I think he had 25, I'm looking at my notes on him, he had 25 walks in 115 games in Delmarva, 17 walks in 127 games between Frederick and Bowie, and now he's only played 19 games this year, but he already has 6 walks. So he's really improving, I think he has the highest ceiling of almost any prospect in the system.
For people who maybe aren't familiar with Mountcastle, he's a third baseman, but does he project to be a third baseman in the majors, do you think?
No, and that's the biggest kind of dilemma with him is where does he play? A lot of scouts and reports that I read said, you know, his arm isn't strong enough for shortstop, so they moved him to third base, which I don't get. He does look uncomfortable, I think, at third base. He makes his fair share of errors. He doesn't have the strongest arm. A lot of people project him to left field, but if you're looking at the major league roster, you know, we have Trey Mancini out in left field. Some people think he moved to first base, but we have Chris Davis kind of blocking everything at first base right now, which, you know, is a whole nother story.
Yeah,
but,
that's a podcast of its own.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't really know. I've also heard maybe second base, but another guy on my list further down the road, you know, Preston Palmeiro, you know, he's transitioned from first base to second base. So I think finding that position is the issue, but his bat, I mean, I think he has the best bat in the system, so they'll find somewhere for him to play.
Cedric Mullins is another guy who's been having a good year, and he does a lot of things well. It must have been tough to pick Mountcastle over him, given that he has really showed some ability at the plate so far, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he can bunt for a base hit. He legs out infield singles. He can drive it over every part of the outfield wall. He's exciting to watch, and he's a grinder. He's going to go out every single day and give you his absolute best. He's a small school prospect. He's a small guy himself. I absolutely love the way he plays. And I think, you know, reading some Twitter comments and stories from today, it looks like he may be coming up sooner than later, actually.
Yeah, I saw that. Now, I think he's been playing center field, right? Do we see him as a future center fielder, or do we think he's going to be moved to a corner spot at some point?
I think he could stick at center field. I think he's athletic enough. There are a couple other guys that I think are a little bit faster than him on the defensive side of things, but I think he can stick at center field at the major league level.
So between him and Hayes, who do you see as the having the higher ceiling in the major league level?
I'd go with Austin Hayes. I think he's just got to make his adjustments. You also got to remember, he only played in 120, 130 games in the minor leagues before reaching the majors. So he's just adjusting now. He's only, 21, 22 years old. I think Mullins is what we see down in Booth. Mullins, I think that's what we're going to get, which is a good player. But I think Austin Hayes has a much higher ceiling.
Now, for your other pick at Bowie, you picked left-handed pitcher Keegan Aiken. And of course, he is a guy who's been on Orioles prospects lists, so people might be familiar with him. But what's interesting about that, again, maybe is the guy you didn't pick, and that's Hunter Harvey, who I think everybody who follows the Orioles at all knows who Hunter Harvey is and sees him as a possible, you know, future top of the rotation kind of guy. Why did you pick Aiken over Hunter Harvey?
That was extremely tough, but I went with Aiken only because he's also kind of risen to the challenges. He struggled last year in Frederick. And I think what added to kind of fans' concerns with him was that he jumped up to Frederick with Cody Sedlak, former first-round draft pick, and they both really struggled last year in Frederick. But since moving up to Bowie, I mean, Aiken, he's got a couple double-digit strikeout performances. His walk rate's down. His strike rate is up. His secondary pitches are developing. He owns the bottom of the strike zone, and he's a competitor, and he's fiery, and I absolutely love watching him pitch. Hunter Harvey, this is the first time we've seen him healthy, and he's fantastic. He's unbelievable. But I think Aiken's a tough pitcher. I think he's definitely got sticking ability in the major league rotation down the road.
Now let's go up a level, go to Triple A, which is, of course, where the players are closest to the major leagues, theoretically, although we know a lot of top prospects don't ever make that stop in AAA. You have listed two guys here, and one I think won't be a surprise to people. That's DJ Stewart. He was the Orioles' first-round pick a couple years ago, and he has sort of shown some improvement this year, hasn't he? He's kind of, I wouldn't say he struggled, but in earlier years maybe didn't impress that much. He's looking pretty good this year, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, with the Orioles' track record of first-round picks, you know, Orioles fans probably put a little shorter leash and higher expectations on these guys. But Stewart's down in Norfolk, and I don't know if fans aren't familiar with Harbor Park, but it is a massive ballpark. It sits right on the Elizabeth River, so there's a constant big breeze blowing inward. And he's putting up good numbers down there. He's got a couple home runs. The best thing about him is he gets on base. He's got like a 350, 360 on base percentage, and he's done that at every level of the minors he's been at. He went to the Arizona Fall League and did it. He's a guy that he's really sneaky fast, too. He's a bigger guy, but he's quick. I think maybe by the end of this year, maybe definitely next year, he's a guy that's hitting at the top of the Orioles lineup.
Yeah, we know that on base has been a real issue with this team, you know, over the last several years and certainly this year. We know, you know, just starting with, you know, Adam Jones has been a guy who's never got on base, and it's been an issue. So it really would be nice to see some guys in the lineup who are willing to take a walk once in a while.
Yeah, and I think there's a long list. You got a lot of guys that are showing a lot of patience at the plate. A lot of power hitters are showing patience at the plate. So I think the farm system, it's growing. And so I think there's a lot of hitters, especially coming up, that fans will be excited about, and Stewart should be one of them.
Now, there's a position question there too, right? Because he's been a left fielder, and as you mentioned, the Orioles, of course, already have Mancini in left field. First base is blocked. They've got, you know, Mark Trumbo playing out of position in right field. What do you see as Stewart's natural position when he comes to the majors?
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, that's the big problem, though. I think he's better suited for left field. I've seen him make a lot of great plays in right field. But I think the question is his arm strength out there. I don't know if that will stick. But yeah, I mean, that's why, going back to Ryan Mountcastle, I think he finds another position in the infield, because I think Stewart will challenge for left field. Every time I look at this and I think about Stewart and some of these other prospects, it all comes back to, you know, Trumbo and Davis. I think if they're not on the roster, a lot of these younger kids would get better chances, more chances to play. But finding a position for Stewart, it's going to be tough, but we'll see what happens with him.
Yeah, and we don't really need to worry about Chris Davis, because he's only under contract for the next four seasons after this, so that's not going to be an issue going forward. Boy, like I said, that's a podcast episode in and of itself, and we don't really need to get into all that right now, but boy, it's frustrating to watch him and know that he's going to be around and making a lot of money for the foreseeable future. All right, well, at Norfolk, you had the other guy you had, and this is a pitcher who I admit I'm not overly familiar with, Jeffrey Ramirez. Tell us a little bit about him.
Mm-hmm. He's a guy that he went on a stretch recently, about 5 out of 6 games, where he struck out at least 7 hitters. He's got a couple, 3 good strong pitches. If you look at his stat line, if you just go to the Norfolk Tide roster, and, you know, if you're just looking up stat lines, it doesn't look that impressive. But if you look at maybe more some of his advanced pitching metrics, like, you know, his FIP is like much lower than his ERA, which means he's pitching pretty well. He's got 3 average pitches that I think play at the major league level. But I don't see it. He's starting in Norfolk, but I don't see him as a starting pitcher with the Orioles. I think the Orioles with Ramirez, they have a guy that if they can put him in for an inning or two here and there, he's a guy that can reach back and throw 95, 96 miles an hour. He's got a big slider to use as a strikeout pitch. He can miss bats pretty well, but I think they need to move him. He's a guy that they need to move to the bullpen. And if they do that, I think he could make some noise up at Camden Yards.
All right, so let's look at the Frederick Keys. There's a couple of names there, and one of them people are familiar with the last name, certainly, and that is Preston Palmeiro. So tell us a little bit about him. He's somebody I talked to on the podcast about him earlier in the year when we were looking at the prospects, and he's a name who came up as somebody to keep an eye on. How is he doing at Frederick?
He's doing outstanding. I went there a couple weeks ago. I was down there about 2 weeks ago or so. I went down to watch Alex Wells, actually, but I saw Palmeiro. He had 4 at-bats, and first at-bat of the game, he took a pitch opposite way right to the warning track. I think his first 3 at bats, he went opposite way, and he hits the ball hard. You wouldn't expect it from him. He's like 5'10", 5'11", but he can hit the ball with some authority. And then his last at bat of the game, he ripped one over the second baseman for a single. When he was drafted, you know, his first year in Aberdeen, he didn't hit a single home run and kind of struggled, hit around 250 mark. But this year, he's hitting, you know, in the 280s. He already has 8 or 9 home runs. And making that switch to second base, he looks like he's played the position for many, many years. The defense looks really good. I'm really excited for him. And there's really no middle infielding prospects down on this farm. So Palmeiro could be a guy that moves up pretty quickly.
The other one you mentioned here is right-handed pitcher Mike Bauman. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Yeah, he's a big guy. He throws the ball extremely hard. I think he's only given up 1 home run this year, and most of that was from his time in Delmarva because he just got called up. But I think in his last start, I can look it up here, he's already made 1 start in Frederick out of the same college as Austin Hayes. So I don't know what they're doing down at University of Jacksonville, but we need to keep scouting that school.
Right.
He's got 2 starts with the Keys, and he's 12 innings. He's given up 2 runs, 4 walks, 8 strikeouts. He's a big strikeout guy. I know there's some concerns that he might be better suited as a reliever, but he's exciting to watch. I love he can pump fastballs high and tight all day long, and then he'd get you low and away with ease. So he's a fun guy to watch. But I think the other guy that just joined him, Zach Lowther, I think he's even better than Bauman.
Yeah, you have him listed at Delmarva, but he's not there anymore. So can you talk about him a little bit?
Yeah, he's another guy, lefty, just like Keegan Aiken. He was a high strikeout pitcher in college at Xavier, and he's continued that. And he had like 75 strikeouts in Aberdeen. He had 51 strikeouts in 31 innings with Delmarva this year. What I have here is that three outings with 10-plus strikeouts. He doesn't walk anybody. I like to get on the fan graphs, the prospect chats, following minor league baseball as much as I do. And I can't remember who said it. Might have been Kylie McDaniel. But someone threw it out there, like, you know, where's Zach Lowther going this year? And Kylie McDaniel threw it out there that, you know, we could see Lowther as soon as the end of this year, even in the major leagues. I think he's a guy that next year competes for a roster spot.
Yeah, I want to get to that in a minute, the idea that the Orioles, of course, are going to be in some sort of rebuild mode after this year, whether it's a full rebuild or not. There are certainly going to be opportunities for guys to make the roster, I think, next year. And I want to talk about that in just a minute. But first, let's talk about the final guy on your list, and that is a guy, again, I'm not real familiar with, Mason McCoy.
Yeah, the Orioles drafted him 2016, I believe. He was a shortstop out of Iowa. He was a guy that, after the draft, and I'm kind of looking up these guys that I haven't heard of and seeing some of their backstory. And I found some story out of the local beat writer in Iowa who said, you know, after his junior year, he had a great junior season and didn't get drafted. And so that kind of added fuel to the fire for his senior year. And the guy hit the ball. He struggled this year in the beginning. He's in Delmarva now, but he already has 7 triples this year in 45 games down in Delmarva. And his defense is outstanding. He has probably the best range of any shortstop in the system. His defense is definitely major league ready, and that's something that's going to carry him through the system pretty well.
Yeah, and like I said, as we know, there's going to be a need for a shortstop sooner rather than later. Now, let's just talk a little bit. You mentioned Cedric Mullins. There's some talk he may be coming up soon. Some of these other guys, maybe by the end of the year. In terms of the guys we've talked about, realistically, who are we going to see in the major leagues sooner than the others anyway? And who do we think is going to stick? Like, you know, which of these are going to be full-time major leaguers the soonest? You know what I mean? Because we know like Austin Hayes last year got a cup of coffee, but now he's back in the minors. Who do we expect to actually see competing for roster spots, like next year, for instance?
Next year, I say DJ Stewart's an obvious one that'll be competing. Jeffrey Ramirez will probably be up and down this year. I think he'll compete. I could see the Orioles maybe trying to stretch him out as a starter if he continues to throw the ball well down in Norfolk. I don't think you see Ryan Mountcastle next year. I don't want to see him in the big leagues next year. I want to see him stick around the minor leagues for a couple more years. But Keegan Aiken is a guy who is definitely going to be competing. DJ Stewart, I think Zach Lowther definitely will. I think the Hunter Harvey is another one. Austin Hayes, Cedric Mullins. I don't know if there's enough spots for all these guys, but those are the guys that I think are right on the cusp of being major league ready.
All right. Well, Nick, thanks so much for joining us today. If people want to find you on Twitter, what's your Twitter handle?
Yeah, they can follow me at CoachNick_14. You can follow the website at Baby Birdland. We pump out articles every single day, and that's our sole focus is Orioles minor leagues from Norfolk Tides, down to we even highlight guys down in the Dominican Summer League when that gets going. So we try to cover it all.
Yeah, so people should definitely check that out. It's a good site with lots of stuff if you're interested in the Orioles prospects. A lot of good information there. So again, Nick, thanks for being with us today.
All right, thanks for having me.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.